Well, good day, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Panic Podcast today. It's the Friday edition, but wherever, whenever you're listening to this, thank you for tuning in. It's Friday, which means we're going to be studying another gift of the Holy Spirit. And today I wanted to take a look at the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation. What's that all about? Well, we'll find out on today's Panic Podcast. Yeah, I just can't stop loving you. That song brings me back to the days when I had hair. Well, so nice to have you with us on this brisk April day. Really cold for April around here these days. How is it where you are? Does it feel like spring? Looks like spring here. We have flowers coming up. We got leaves popping out on the trees. And it's funny. Let's see. Today's Friday. So Wednesday, I recorded three episodes of 3 minutes with Mike, and I did them at home on my deck, and you can see behind me that the trees are pretty bare. I mean, you have some trees that have leaves coming up, but by and large, the trees are all bare. And I happened to look out the window this morning while I was pouring my coffee, and there are tons more leaves this morning than there were on just 2 days ago. So that, I mean, spring is here, but they're calling for snow on the weekend. I'm just dying this spring. Oh boy. Well, get your Bibles opened up, because I want to look at what I consider to be a really interesting gift. It's the gift of exhortation, and it might be a little different than what you think. So I think you'll find this to be a very interesting study too. So let's read a group of verses first of all. Let's see, where do I want to go first? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 3 to 7. And then I want to go over to Romans chapter 12. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7 as we begin our study of the gift of exhortation on the Panic Podcast. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Isn't that beautiful? Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Okay, now let's have a look back at Romans 12, verse 8. Romans 12, verse 8. Well, let's go back to verse 6, because if we read verse 8, we're starting in the middle of a sentence. Paul's got a bunch of run-on sentences here, so let's just go back to the beginning of this one, at least in the English, verse 6, Romans 12, 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. All that means is that we have different spiritual gifts given to us by the grace of God. In other words, he determines who receives these gifts, not you. Now, you can pray for a gift. You can pray that God blesses you with a particular spiritual gift, but it's really up to him whether you receive it or not. I always like to say, just because you're a good teacher, just because you teach in an elementary school or something, that doesn't mean that you have the gift of the spiritual gift of teaching. You may very well, but that's up to the Lord to determine who receives each gift. And it's up to you to determine which gift you have. Like, as the pastor of the church, I may or may not recognize a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts working in a particular person's life. I might or I might not. So it's up to that person to pray, to seek the Lord, so that he can discover what gift he has. Because we all have spiritual gifts. Every single Christian has at least one, probably more. Of course, only Jesus had all of them, but, I mean, yeah, he's the Son of God and all, so he would have all of them. But we all have at least one and probably more. Okay, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, Paul's going to list some of them. And this is just like a handful. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. Didn't know that, right? Giving is a spiritual gift. That involves giving money, a giving of your time and talents. And we're going to talk more about that when we get to that particular gift, but that's also a very interesting gift. You know, I can tell you that as a pastor of a church, we love people that have the gift of giving generously, because not everybody has it. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So there's a group of verses that talk about the spiritual gifts, including the one we're looking at this morning, the gift of exhortation. Now, with regards to this gift, there are several words that are used interchangeably for this gift. The same word is found 10 times in the scripture passage that we read. A glance at different translations will reveal that some translate the word comfort, comforter, others exhortation, some helper. The varied translations and usage I've taken into consideration for this teaching. Like if you don't know the original language, like if you don't know Greek, then whenever you're studying something like this, it's good to have several translations at your disposal. One of them should always be the King James Version. And then good modern translations like the NIV or something like that. So let's look at the term. The gift of exhortation, it is more than just that of expounding or teaching. The gift of exhortation includes speaking, absolutely. It's basically public speaking, and yet it's more than that. It is the ability to persuade, but it's more than that. It's the gift of leading someone to, say, the preacher's way of thinking. So your pastor, your preacher, may have the gift of exhortation or he may not. But somebody else in your church may have the gift of exhortation. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's your worship leader, if you have one. Maybe it's somebody that, when someone's speaking in a church. Okay, someone that's going to get up and sing a solo during the offering, like the offertory. and they say a few words before they sing. It's entirely possible that person has the gift of exhortation. So to understand the term, several different approaches need to be made. First of all, this particular gift of the Holy Spirit gives the believer the same gift that Jesus and the Holy Spirit have. Let's look at John 14 in this connection. All right, let's look at John chapter 14. And let's see. You can hear me clicking. It's because I'm using a digital version of the Bible here where I can make the font really big because at my age, big fonts help. Yes, it was. I did actually celebrate a birthday yesterday. What is my age? I've reached the age of enlightenment. Let's just call it that. John 14, verse 15. It takes a long time to get to the age of enlightenment. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, this is Jesus talking, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you. Now, that's the TNIV, actually, it is the TNIV, the another advocate, which means that the Holy Spirit is an advocate. He's the comforter. Okay, Jesus speaks for himself and the Holy Spirit, because you see the word, he uses the word another, so there has to be another one besides the Holy Spirit, that would be Jesus. So he is the comforter, the Holy Spirit is the comforter, or he is the advocate, and the Holy Spirit is the advocate. It's the same Greek word, just translated differently, all right? In the text that we read this morning, Paul speaks of this gift enabling the believer to possess that ability to be a comforter or to be an advocate or to be an encourager. This can happen, as I say, when your preacher is preaching, when the evangelist is preaching, when your Sunday school teacher is teaching, when the worship leader is speaking in between hymns or worship choruses that you might be singing, or, as I said, when the soloist gets up to sing a song, he or she may say a few words, and that would be a great time for the gift of encouragement to kick in, because somebody in that church may need to hear what they have to say. Okay, John chapter 2, Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 1. Now, is it verse 1? Oh, I'm sorry, it's 1 John. I was reading about that's the miracle of the water being turned into wine. I want 1 John. That makes better sense. 1 John chapter 2. No, chapter 1. No, it is chapter 2. My notes are all balled up, sorry. Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the world. It may not look like it there, but in that verse, Jesus is spoken of as being an advocate. He's an advocate. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the King James Version, it says, he is the propitiation for our sins. The atoning sacrifice, the propitiation. Now, let me read it here from the Amplified. Listen to this. And he, that same Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, bracket, that is, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature, our worldliness, our lifestyle, bracket. So that's a really good description of an intermediary, or you basically the job of someone who comes in between God and another person. He's an advocate. So Jesus advocates before the Father on behalf of us, holding back God's wrath in this example. And then in Romans 12:8, which we've read, the believer is spoken of in the same way. Let's go back to that, Romans 12:8. If it is to give encouragement, then do so. Then encourage. Then give encouragement. All right? But that's another angle to this gift, the gift of encouragement, the gift of being an advocate. And another concept conveyed is in the word counselor. The Christian counsels his fellow man by urging or cautioning or admonishing that person. He also counsels by giving strength and encouragement. The Christian counsels in giving a teaching or a discourse or an address or a recommendation. The idea behind this gift of encouragement is that of building up somebody else or edifying somebody else. So you can see how Jesus possessed that in spades, but all kinds of believers possess this gift, right? Now, second, there's a well-known character in the New Testament that possessed this gift, he is a perfect illustration of this gift in action. And that character is, are you ready for it? Any guesses as to who it might be? Barnabas. Barnabas. Yes, as in Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas is known to us as the son of consolation. Now, we see Barnabas, as we know, he's linked with Paul often. But of course, he had a great ministry without Paul. I mean, he was a great preacher and evangelist, and I'm sure he founded churches, pastored churches, without being with Paul or without Paul being with him. But he's frequently linked to Paul. But let's take a look at three different ways in which Barnabas was an encourager with Paul or Saul. First of all, let's take a look at Acts 9. Verse 23. Now, this is going to be a fairly lengthy reading here. So let's have a look at Acts. What did I say? Acts chapter 9, verse 23. And this is where Barnabas is seen welcoming a very unwelcomed convert. Down to verse 23, Acts 9, 23. After considerable time had passed, I'm still in the Amplified, I need to get out of there, sorry, because this isn't going to make any sense to you. Let's go back to the TNIV. Acts 9, verse 23. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill Paul, or he's still known as Saul here, verse 24. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Well, why wouldn't they be? Last they'd seen it, this Saul, he was murdering Christians, or having them murdered. They didn't really believe that he was a disciple, verse 27. But Barnabas, the son of consolation, the guy who's always in the background working. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now you see how he's functioning like an advocate now. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him. And now in Damascus, he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. Well, I won't read any further, but excuse me. That gives you the idea, doesn't it, of one who has the gift of encouragement. I mean, I'll tell you what, there are a few things needed more in this world today than to know that someone has noticed you and cares. Look at, everybody needs a friend. At this moment in Saul Paul's life, that's really what he needed. I mean, he encountered Jesus in a supernatural, miraculous way, and that's all well and good. Jesus changed his life, but Saul Paul still had to live and function in the world, and what he desperately needed was a friend. And obviously they were in very short supply because nobody trusted him. Nobody believed that he was really a follower of Jesus. But Barnabas knew, and he took Paul by the hand and made an introduction between Paul and the apostles. So that's an advocate. That's an encourager. Not only was Barnabas encouraging Saul Paul, but he was also encouraging the disciples at the same time. Secondly, Acts 11, just go forward a couple pages here. Acts chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 22. We're still looking at Barnabas as one exercising the gift of encouragement, right? He enlists Paul as a teacher here. Verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that what the grace of God has done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So in this section of verses here, he is seen encouraging the believers at Antioch, right? But look at verse 25 because it gets better. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Still haven't become Paul yet. And when he found him, what did he do with him? Brought him to Antioch because he needed help to teach these new Gentile converts in Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Barnabas, not only is he encouraging these new believers in Antioch, but he goes out of his way, takes probably what was a long journey or a perilous journey to Tarsus, to look for this one guy, Saul, finally finds him because he needs to have help. Now, he could have gone to Jerusalem, got Peter, could have got John Mark. No. He went to this new, untested, untried believer, Saul, and gives him a job to do. You know, there are all kinds of people like that, like Saul, who are waiting in the wings to do something for the Lord if they were just given a chance. So somehow, the Lord obviously inspired Barnabas to go and seek out Saul, and he encouraged Saul to help him, to teach him. There's the gift of encouragement. The Holy Spirit endows God's people to find and use these workers. Thirdly, let's go on a couple more chapters to Acts 13. I'm going to have to wrap this up because contractor Jesse's going to be in here working in a minute. Acts chapter 13, let's go all the way down to verse 50. That's what I call a long chapter. But the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their religion. Now, a word of explanation. When it says here, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, okay, that's not Christians. That those are Gentiles who converted to Judaism. So they're God-fearing Gentiles. That's what that means. It's all that means. Barnabas had become Paul's assistant. It's like the teacher had become the student now. Paul is thrust into the spotlight because he's clearly the man chosen to take the gospel to the Gentiles, even though Barnabas had already been doing it. But Barnabas sticks around with Paul to help him. So back in Antioch, it was Saul, Paul, who was helping Barnabas. Now all of a sudden the roles are switched. Barnabas, the encourager, is helping Paul, and they're working together. Right? He developed Paul as a gifted assistant who would become his superior. I mean, this is an illustration of a person having this gift and projecting his feelings away from self to feelings for others. Obviously, Barnabas saw something in Paul that he didn't have and something that other people needed to experience. And let's take a look at, go back to Acts 11 for a second and go back to those verses. Where I just want to talk to about this for just a moment here. Back in Antioch, Barnabas is seen accepting alien believers, foreigners, Greeks, Gentiles, barbarians, who are not welcomed by others. You know, when Barnabas saw that the Spirit of God was really in Saul, he had no problem associating himself with Saul and bringing Saul into the fellowship of believers. When Barnabas saw what the Lord was doing among all the Gentile converts in Antioch, I mean, he rejoiced. He rejoiced, and he's referred to as being a kind person, full of the Spirit and strong in faith, because it was obvious to everybody that he was gifted with this gift. And let's take a look at one more reading here, and I'm going to have to hurry because we're quickly running out of time. Skip ahead to Acts 15 and scroll down to verse 37, looking at Barnabas as the gift, one possessing the gift of encouragement. Verse 30, Acts 15, verse 30. So they were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Then Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. Now listen, verse 35. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch. Now notice it's not Barnabas and Paul, it's Paul and Barnabas, where they and many others taught and preached the word of God. Go down a little further. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we were preaching the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, with them. But Paul didn't think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. They had a parting of the company, but this was of the Lord. John Mark had let Paul down before. And at the moment now, of course, Paul's going to change his mind later on, but right now he didn't want to have anything to do with John Mark, didn't think he could trust him, which is an odd thing, but as I say, this was of the Lord. But Barnabas stepped in and said, no, I'm going to take this young man with me. You take someone else, you go your way, I'll go my way, and we'll meet up again somewhere else. And of course they did. But this action on the part of Barnabas, conceivably saved a man in the Lord's work. Through the gift and through the Spirit, Barnabas saw the potential in Mark that for some reason Paul just didn't see right now. He would later on, but right now he didn't see it. And through the use of this same gift, he was able to help Mark. Now, there's some other general observations that I want to make regarding this gift before we close off. First of all, this gift, it seems to be one of continuous action. The use of this gift is day by day, week by week. It's not a once-for-all action. It seems to be repeated over and over and over again, like in Barnabas' life and ministry. The use of this gift, I think, also has a kind of an urgency about it. People with this gift should take it seriously, shouldn't be taken lightly. There's too much hurt on the part of people and too much desire to help on God's part to delay the use of this gift. This gift can bring God and another person together, put them on common ground. And there's a very specific purpose to be performed by this gift. Three New Testament passages, I think, really serve to illustrate the purpose of this gift by the use of imperatives. In the Greek language, an imperative is a continuous action. Acts 2:40 says, "Save yourselves." Acts 11:23 says, "Hold on to the Lord," or "cleave unto the Lord." And Acts 14:22 says, "To continue in the faith." In each of those three cases, people are being encouraged to save yourselves. They are encouraged by a follower of the Lord with the gift of encouragement to cleave unto the Lord and to continue in the faith. That's the gift of encouragement at work. And I'll tell you right now, people desperately need encouragement in the Church of Jesus Christ. They need help, they need encouragement, and they need consolation. If you're listening to this and you are a Christian, do you have the gift of encouragement? Well, there's only one way to find out. Turn this thing off. Turn your phone off. Turn your TV off. Turn your PC off. Turn your tablet off. And get out there and find somebody to encourage. You must know somebody who's down in the dumps. You must know somebody who's, you know, just not feeling on top of the world. Go and encourage them. You might discover that you have the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation. Okay, gang, that's it. I've got to get out of here. Contractor Jesse's going to be doing some work. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today and all week long. We'll be back Monday with a brand new study. We'll see you then. Till then, have a great weekend. Get out there and enjoy the snow. If you're in Southwest Virginia, snow, I can't believe it. And don't forget to go to church on Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. You need to be in church. Well, you need to be in church anyway, but it's a good time to be in church. See you next week. God bless.